Welcome in, everybody, to Wanna Bet. Kip Kiefer with you for the opening segment here before we hear from Las Vegas and Case Kiefer, who has an extraordinary segment previewing the NFL championship games this weekend and giving us a little glimpse ahead, talking about strategies he will employ with a lot of his wagers. I think it's been a fascinating season this year, and I hope you've enjoyed it here on the show. Case giving his insights as one of the top football prognosticators and bettors in the country. You've got a lot of guys making predictions, but the big bonus with Case Kiefer in our midst here on Wanna Bet is Case is an actual major player and gives a lot of thought to everything he's doing and gives you insights into that end of the business. You know, picking games and betting games is a whole different dynamic. And Case has really given us some rare insights on how he operates. And you hear him use words like portfolio and futures. And this is approached not as some sort of sports betting entertainment. He approaches this just as seriously as the most diligent stock market folks that analyze markets and kind of weigh their strategies every single day. And not only on the current things that are happening, but also look long-term and forecast trends and opportunities that they see. So I hope you've gotten some really good insight into that this year and can incorporate some of that thinking into your own strategies going forward. I think you're really going to enjoy his segment. Of course, he gives his picks on the game, but a lot of the things that he talked about served as a perfect summary for everything that we have discussed this year here on Wanna Bet. Now, if you've missed episodes and want to go back, we have a Facebook page that's Wanna Bet, and all of our shows for the season are posted there. So be sure to access that. All you have to do is search Wanna Bet on your Facebook page. It should take you there, and you can like that page and give yourself access anytime you want, because the entire, once again, season of shows is there. And also on our YouTube channel, all of the shows appear if you're not a Facebook person. So give that a look and go back and listen to some of those segments as we discuss things in Las Vegas this year about betting trends and different strategies and really the approach to doing what is a very entertaining and all-time consuming pursuit. But it also can be done in a kind of a professional manner to not just to derive entertainment, but to actually try and profit. Case has already had some great success this year. One of his biggest ones, of course, was picking Caleb Williams before the season, 16-1 were the odds he got. So for every dollar he bet, he got 16 back and made a big score when Caleb Williams was awarded the Heisman Trophy. So don't miss that segment, and I will be back after Case to kind of give you my rundown on filling in some of the other things around those games. Case gives you a rundown on what he thinks is going to happen in terms of the games themselves. I'm going to talk about the over-unders and some of the other factors going in to two really outstanding championship games. The first game in the afternoon will be the Philadelphia Eagles hosting the San Francisco 49ers. These are clearly the two best teams in the NFC. Last week, we kind of went with Case, as it turned out. Didn't know at the time that we both were on the Cowboys. But Dallas just did not play a complete game there. Had a chance and let it get away. But the 49ers are the deserving team in the conference to be representing the NFC in the championship game. The Eagles have been the best team all season long and are playing at home and playing with tremendous confidence. So that should be a great game. And then the nightcap late afternoon on Sunday in chilly Kansas City, where the game time temperature is probably going to be down in about the 20-degree range, dipping into the teens during play. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals, who authored probably the best win of any NFL team last week in the snow in Buffalo, and not just blowing snow. I'm talking about falling snow, accumulation, and the Bengals handled it much better than the Bills, which surprised a lot of people. But the thing is, no teams are really proficient in playing in collecting snow. The Bengals just handled it much better, looked like from a footing standpoint, and all things surrounding that mentally, they didn't really let it bother them. It just looked like the Bills were a step slow and just didn't get off the ball or run their routes as crisply or execute their offense. And there's some other factors I'm going to talk about that game on my segment when I give you my thoughts on the championship game. So a lot to come up with. I know a lot of folks have listened to the show all year to talk about college football, which is my specialty, but I wish I had more to report about games, but there aren't any. The season's over, of course. Georgia has already wrapped up their second consecutive national championship with that beatdown against TCU, 65-7. Georgia, clearly the best team in college football, and emphatically put an exclamation point on that with that big win on January 9th out in Los Angeles. So college football has a lot of things going on. We're going to be giving you updates throughout the year as we lead up to Labor Day weekend this coming September and get it all kicked off again. This is going to be an interesting season of transition because a lot of things change next year in 2024 with the addition to the SEC of Oklahoma and Texas, which is going to make the SEC even more a formidable conference. I think I told you last week here on Wanna Bet, the SEC has now won 14 out of the last 19 national championships. Absolute dominance by the best team, unquestionably in the country, the best teams, the best conference, the SEC, and other conferences like to make the case that they're comparable, Big Ten, but they are not. 14 out of 19 national championships and complete dominance by the SEC that does not look like it's going to be wavering in the coming years. Of course, the Big Ten will be adding USC and UCLA, giving them two major powers from the West Coast. So the game is changing dramatically. And of course, the other thing 2024 brings in is the advent of the 12-team playoff, which is going to be a whole new era for college football. It's more the pro football model. It is a long series of playoff games. The top four teams will get byes in the first week, so you'll have the other eight teams competing in four games, eliminating that down to eight teams for the second week, so four more games, then two, and then, of course, the deciding contest. So a whole different dynamic coming up. 2023 coming up later this year is the last year in the traditional model that we've had over the recent years of the four teams, which failed spectacularly this year because after Georgia and Michigan, who were both undefeated, the next 3 through 9 teams were all debatable of who was the worthy representatives in the playoff spots in those 3 and 4 positions. And as it turned out, you could have gone a lot of different directions because at the end of the day, give TCU credit for a great season, but they were not a worthy opponent in the championship game. And you say, well, they beat Michigan, who was also undefeated. But again, I think I've been pretty vocal about this. If you watch that game and recap what happened, I don't think TCU beat Michigan. I think Michigan beat Michigan with ridiculous decision-making and strategy and terrible mistakes, 2 pick-sixes in a game, and failing to score yourself twice inside the 2-yard line a single point. That was a 28-point swing in that game, and I don't think there's many teams in any level of football that can overcome gift-giving like that. So some thoughts on college football. Case Kiefer is coming up next with his extraordinary report on the championship games coming up this week. So stay tuned for that, and then I'll be back afterwards with my thoughts on the NFL and wrap up this edition of Wanna Bet. We're glad you're on board. Stay tuned. Case is next.
Hey, it's Case Kiefer back on Wanna Bet with my best bet segment, heading into what could be an all-timer week in the NFL, at least for me personally, but we'll get to that in a second. First, let's look back on last week, which wasn't quite as great. You know, not terrible. We ran through all the games. I was off on a few of them, but only locked in those two bets and ended up paying the vig. We cashed that Chiefs-Eagles teaser somewhat easily, especially with the way the Eagles crushed the Giants. However, missed on Dallas plus four at San Francisco, and that one still really hurts. I feel like the Cowboys, I'm a big Dak Prescott defender. I think that he's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, but there's no getting around his inconsistency. I feel like with even just decent quarterback play, the Cowboys win that game. Maybe if they don't drop some interceptions too. I don't know. Brock Purdy has a magical power that every time he throws the ball to the other team, they drop it. Obviously, the 49ers a little bit getting on my nerves. They've been one of the nemesis of mine on the show. I would say them and the Bengals both. And what do you know? Here they are in the conference championship games, where they are once again shaping up as a nemesis I will need to take down this week. Because if you've watched the show and been with me from the beginning, I think I even made my Super Bowl pick on the show at the beginning of the year. I had the Chiefs over the Eagles. This is a pretty far to take it that they could be playing in the Super Bowl. Pretty unbelievable. And with that being my pick, of course, I do have big betting positions on both of them. You know, some people just like to bet to win the Super Bowl. Some people like to just bet to win the conference. Some people like to do both. I fall into the final category. I like to bet both. So I do have tickets on the Chiefs and the Eagles, both to win the AFC and NFC respectively, as well as the Super Bowl, which kind of puts me in an interesting position this week. I have the Chiefs 6-1 in the AFC from early, probably a month or two before the season started, and the Eagles at 14-1 to win the NFC from about the same time frame. I know, you know, on one of the opening segments early in the show, if you've been watching all year, we talked about, you know, when to arbitrage some of these positions, when to, you know, try to make sure you lock in a profit and when to let it ride. Certainly with my handicapping, that's going to be the big challenge this week. I got to decide what I'm going to do with both of these big tickets, and hopefully I'll make the right decisions. We kind of went through this in college football on the show as well, and didn't turn out so well. I think I had maybe like six futures that got through, and either three or four of them won on conference championships. But of course, the ones that I couldn't either money-wise make sense to hedge out of, or ones that I just didn't want to, those all lost. And the ones where I did end up trying to create some kind of middle or arb, they all ended up winning, and I just ended up costing myself money for that from that. So it's one of the most, it's one of the hardest things to figure out in sports betting. And I think I also talked about on the show going into the World Series, I had what might have been top five biggest tickets ever for me. I had the Phillies at 40-1 with that 2-1 lead over the Astros. I could have easily bet the Astros. I think they were like plus 165 at the time. I could have bet them and insured a pretty nice profit either way. Instead, I didn't think it was a good bet, so I let it ride. And that's a pretty big regret of mine, actually. I think I mishandled that. Not because in theory, I think I had it right that, you know, I wanted them to be at least plus 175. I thought that was the true price and I wasn't getting there. So I stuck to my guns. But I just think I was too low on the Astros. And if I had to do it back, I would certainly go back and take that plus money. But that's easy to say results oriented now. But, you know, it still haunts you months later. You still think about it. So I really hope to make the right decisions in these two games. But with that as the background, let's dive into them. If you read my columns on LasVegasSun.com, this is probably going to be pretty similar to them this week. Usually I try to differentiate it on the show, but with only two games, had a little more time to dive into it, got my full thoughts on there, and I will share as close to my can as I can to the full thoughts on here as well. Let's start with the first game, the NFC Championship game, San Francisco at Philadelphia. Philadelphia right now holding as a juiced 2.5-point favorite, so a chance we could get back to three. We got to three for, I think it was something like 30 minutes early in the week in the morning. I missed it, and it hit right back down. And if it gets back to three, I'm going to be playing some San Francisco here. To be honest, I might even hedge right now and take some San Francisco plus 2.5. I actually think that number's a little high. I think this was a little bit of an overreaction to last week. I've been against the Giants all year, too. I don't think they were that great of a team. You know, this game was shaping up to be a pick'em, maybe Philadelphia -1, -1.5. So not a huge difference, but they're getting a really big boost from what they did to the Giants. And I'm just not sure that they deserve it. The Eagles have had a historically easy schedule this year, and they've taken care of business. You know, as I've said many times on this show, I think, you know, beating up on poor opponents is even more predictive than winning close games against good opponents. But I do think it's going to be a little bit of a culture shock going up against this San Francisco defense, who best defense in the NFL against the run. There's just no way that Philadelphia's rush offense is going to be as lethal as it's looked all year. I think they're really going to have to beat them over the top. This is going to have to be a Jalen Hurts to A.J. Brown game. You know, for a while there, people were saying Jalen Hurts should be the MVP before he got hurt. This is a chance where he can really prove that those cries were correct, because I really think his arm's going to have to win this game. You know, I'm not so much doubting him. I do trust him more than Brock Purdy, but, you know, just the numbers on San Francisco, they've been so good, so all across the board. I think I ever so slightly lean Philadelphia winning this game outright, but I honestly would make my pick something like 24-23. I think this will be a really close game. I think San Francisco top to bottom, really tough, going to be the hardest opponent Philadelphia has seen. You know, maybe some of the variance swings the other way. They stopped dropping those Brock Purdy interceptions, but what would it be if we didn't have a play on each of these games? So I'm going to go ahead and lock in a play on the show here first. Right now it's only +2.5. Really hoping I get a chance to get this at 3, but I hate to say it. I hope I'm wrong. I'm really rooting for that Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl, but this is an instance where I probably will be hedging a little bit into my position. Even if it doesn't reach 3, I'm going to take San Francisco +2.5. I think there's slight value there. Nick Bosa, such a game changer, and all the weapons they have. I think the world of Kyle Shanahan, even though I like Nick Sirianni too, I think they'll have a good game plan, and I think they'll capitalize on it. Which brings us to the next game, Cincinnati at Kansas City. Quite a big difference from me here. As I said earlier, my big thing with arbing or hedging into your positions is you got to make sure you're getting a good bet on the other side, because if not, then why'd you make it in the first place? You know, I bet the Chiefs 6-1. If the whole plan was just to buy out of it, for half the price, it would have been 3-1, and I wouldn't have made the bet in the first place. You can always buy out of your good bets. You can't buy out of your bad bets. So, you know, really, it's not a long-term winning decision. And I just got to say, right now, I think this line is straight wrong. It's moving a little bit more towards Kansas City now, mostly pick-ems on the board at the time we record, but still at least 1+1. And I just cannot believe that the Chiefs are a home underdog to anyone. I know how good the Bengals were. I think that was maybe the best single performance of the NFL last week. You could argue in dispatching the Bills like that, but, and I understand Patrick Mahomes' injury, but, you know, look what Mahomes did last week, even on one ankle. He's now going to have a full week of the best medical help possible. He has, you know, one of the best offensive game planners in the history of the NFL on his side, and Andy Reid. This guy's just a freak. I feel like we doubted him at the beginning of the year, and that's why we were able to lock in that 10-1 MVP price that hopefully you followed me on, because we're going to be cashing a big ticket here in a couple weeks with that. And I think we're kind of doubting Mahomes again here. I mean, why, even if this guy's not at 100%, I would estimate he's probably going to be 75 or 80 after all the attention he's going to get. The Bengals defense is no world beaters. I mean, the Ravens are marching up and down the field on them 2 weeks ago without the fumble at the 1 yard line. They're already out of the playoffs. I just feel like this is you know, really a lot of recency bias to have the Bengals favored in Kansas City. It's absolutely crazy to me. This could all backfire. I could be wrong, but I think we're going to see this line move further in Kansas City's direction. I think with you know, Mahomes, the uncertainty that he's hobbled, I think -3 would be a fair price. And if it gets to 3, I probably will play a little bit back of my position on Cincinnati +3, hope to hit the middle there with Kansas City winning outright, but maybe, you know, Cincinnati having a 1 or 2 point loss. But I just can't in good conscience take a pick'em or a +1 or a -1 even, excuse me, on Cincinnati right now. I think Kansas City's the better team. I still have faith in Patrick Mahomes. He's gotten me this far. I expect to cash that MVP ticket, and I think he's going to get into yet another Super Bowl, his third Super Bowl, and cash us a ticket this time around. So my other play to go with San Francisco, +2.5. I'm going to take Kansas City +1. I think it's going to be a Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl. That's what I'm hoping for, but very possibly could be Chiefs-49ers. So the picks this week, once again, Chiefs +1, San Francisco +2.5. Thanks for listening all season to Wanna Bet, and stick around for Kip's segment next.
Hey everybody, Kip Kiefer back for the final segment of Wanna Bet today. Hope you enjoyed Case's segment and got a lot of information from all of the things he reported on going into these games. Two great games today. the early game, the San Francisco 49ers at the Philadelphia Eagles, and weather should not be a factor in that game. A high today, forecast around 50 degrees in Philadelphia, which is quite extraordinary for a January football game there. Not quite the same in Kansas City, where the game will be after sunset, and the temperature is supposedly going to be right around 20 degrees at kickoff. The good thing for both these games, no precipitation in the forecast, so we won't see the snowfall potentially unless something changes dramatically. It should be conditions that are conducive to two great games that will be determined on the field and not by Mother Nature's contribution in terms of things that might influence play. So with all that being said, let's start in Philadelphia, the Eagles and the 49ers. I think this is a fascinating matchup. The Eagles have, from start to finish, been the dominant team this year. The only slip-ups they had were toward the end of the year when Jalen Hurts hurt his shoulder in Chicago and missed a big game in Dallas when they lost to the Cowboys. And the Eagles also were beaten at home by the New Orleans Saints during that stretch. But Hurts came back and has led the team successfully to a pair of wins over the New York Giants, including last week's playoff game that was not really a game at all. We said here on the show last week that the Eagles and Giants had played twice in the previous 6 weeks to last week's games, and the Eagles were just clearly the dominant team in both of those games. And it played out that way again. No contest for Philadelphia against the New Yorkers last week. So this time they've got a little bit more of a tough task with the 49ers coming in red hot. Ever since acquiring Christian McCaffrey, it has taken this team to another level. And it's amazing that that's happened because everybody knows the well-documented story that Trey Lance was scheduled to be the quarterback for San Francisco this year, the high draft pick from a couple years ago. He only lasted the first couple of weeks of the season. So the old reliable 49er general Jimmy Garoppolo took over and got the 49ers on track pretty well. But then he went down with an injury, which left only one man standing in the quarterback room, and that is Brock Purdy, who was the very last draft pick in the NFL draft, the very last one to go. That always earns the title of the fortunate or unfortunate person that's selected last. In this case, very fortunate because look what's happened. Brock Purdy tagged with the Mr. Irrelevant title, but he has been anything but irrelevant since stepping into the lineup, has been on a magical roll, and is just doing a great job of getting the 49ers in position to win week after week. This should be a great football game. Don't forget the 49ers defense is also outstanding. Perhaps the most valuable player on the defensive side of the ball is Bosa for San Francisco, a real game-changing force on their defensive line. But the 49ers in totality have a very, very good defense, and this should be a stern test for Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. I think it's important to note that the 49ers, one of their main reasons for success on defense is they one-dimensionalize offenses they play, kind of forcing them to throw the ball because their rushing defense is so solid. So if the Eagles, who are substandard, I would say, in rushing the ball, Miles Sanders is a dependable back, Boston Scott pretty good as well, but the Eagles' MO is more Jalen Hurts runs, and that can be disruptive to the best rushing defense. If Jalen Hurts' shoulder has continued to progress to the point where it's getting close to 100% and the Eagles are willing to cut him loose a little more, that dynamic is what makes the Eagles a really scary team to try to defend. So the key for the 49ers is to try to contain Jalen Hurts, who you heard Case say in his segment, he thinks that Jalen's going to have to win this game through the air because he has so much respect for that 49ers defense. And that may well be the case. And they've got great weapons to throw to. The receiver core is outstanding with former Alabama Heisman Trophy winner Devontae Smith and the tremendous talent of A.J. Brown as far as their outside receivers. And they've got Goddard at tight end, who is a weapon that a lot of folks aren't familiar with, but a guy that gets a lot done in the middle of the field. So I think the Eagles will still move the ball. The 49ers on offense have a ton of playmakers, are very effective running and throwing. But Case touched on it. Brock Purdy has had an unbelievable run here. But this is a game in a very hostile atmosphere that, you know, if there's going to be some cracks in the armor, you would think this is where they're going to be. There's an old adage in football betting that when you look at a game, it's always a good idea to side with the team with the best quarterback. I don't think at this point in their careers there's much debate. I think Jalen Hurts is the better quarterback, and that's why I like the Eagles to go on to the Super Bowl and beat the 49ers here in Philadelphia. And the over-under on the game, 47.5, I find that a little bit interesting because I think both teams are dynamic enough where there's going to be some points put on the board. That doesn't really require that big output from either team. If the game is in the 27-21, 27-24 range, which I expect it to be, that would put it just slightly over the number. So if you were looking in that direction, I would go over and take the Philadelphia Eagles. The other game in Arrowhead Stadium, the Kansas City Chiefs, Cincinnati Bengals for the second consecutive year will play for the AFC Championship. The Bengals pulling the upset last year in Arrowhead and going on to the Super Bowl. A lot of folks think history is going to repeat itself because of the tremendous performance Cincinnati put on in Buffalo last week. I said in the open, they just look like the team that was better prepared to handle the elements and did handle them better. Their receivers ran crisp routes. The Bills seem to have problems getting their footing and really doing a very good job of defending the Bengals passing game. Joe Burrow has become, he's always been a sensational quarterback, but with every snap, he becomes more and more outstanding as the signal caller for the Bengals. They have a good running game with Joe Mixon, who's one of the most underappreciated backs in the league. They got it all, really, package-wise. The defense is very solid. They bend but don't break very much. And, of course, everybody is focusing on the ankle injury for Patrick Mahomes. Last week, going down in the second quarter, but coming back and gutting out the second half and leading the Chiefs to a expected win over the very game but very young and inexperienced Jacksonville Jaguars. This is a much more stern test with a Bengals team that is flying high with confidence. But the Chiefs have a lot of components that people don't give them credit for. And I think one of the big things in this game that's going to tilt the situation in their favor is their running game is very underappreciated. And even if Mahomes isn't 100%, I think Case is right, with tremendous treatment all week, and I'm sure the most innovative ways that we can possibly imagine to treat that high ankle sprain, I think Mahomes will be functional enough. But the running game for the Chiefs is still very important here. And the combination of McKinnon and Pacheco, which sounds like an accounting firm, but these guys, maybe they're not really household names, but both of them in their own way are very effective running backs. And I think they offer a lot more threat to the Bengals' run defense than the Buffalo Bills did with their tandem of backs that really is not their cup of tea in terms of their attack. I think this is a much more formidable duo that they're going to have to worry about stopping this week. Isaiah Pacheco particularly coming on as a rookie as the season's gone on, and he is a major force now that they're going to have to contend with. So all that being said, I think the Chiefs are going to be a lot more balanced than Buffalo on a better playing surface, and I think they are going to turn the tables. This is amazing. It's the fourth time the Bengals and Chiefs have played since last January. So in the last year, these two teams have played four times. Last year, the last week of the regular season, the Bengals beat the Chiefs in Cincinnati, 34-31, a three-point game, and they've played twice since then. The AFC Championship game almost exactly a year ago on January 30th, the Bengals won in Kansas City 27-24, and this year, a regular season game on December 4th in Cincinnati, the Bengals matched that score and also won 27-24. What do all those have in common? They're all 51 points or more. The over-under on this game is 46.5. Go over and take the Kansas City Chiefs, who are actually getting right now a point at home because of the uncertainty about Mahomes and people reacting to the great performance last week by the Bengals. I agree with Case. I think it's an overreaction. I think the Chiefs are going to get their revenge, break their three-game losing streak against the Bengals, and win a classic close game with more than 46.5 points scored. That's the Kip Kiefer forecast on this week's NFL action. Thanks for listening to Wanna Bet here on TKR. We hope we will be joining you again in the near future with some other programs and some other things for you to think about. We appreciate your support all year on the Wanna Bet show. I'm Kip Kiefer. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody, and enjoy the games.